Hi there, listener. You're about to experience Tadpog. Tyler and Dave play old games, and there will be plenty of game talk, but also copious amounts of crude, off-color, offensive, and immature speech. So if you are of a rather sensitive humor constitution, we're just letting you know what you're in for with this show. It has games. It has jokes. You know, just games and jokes. Take the games, take the jokes, and have a good time.
Hello, Internet. Welcome to another Tadpog podcast, Original Flavor Wednesday style. So what are you doing?
Nicole's over there. Make it.
My peripheral's not great.
She was doing katas.
Sorry.
A show that happens twice a week where two old guys and one rather young lady play old games.
Mm-hmm.
Today, get it out of the way, talk about it. We'll be talking about IGN's 47th ranked game, Kirby's Superstar.
So if you came here for Harvest Moon,
We're sorry. We're so sorry.
That'll be next Wednesday.
Yep.
Probably. We should probably verify
it,
that.
I made sure to check and look. That is next week.
Okay, good.
But before all that, I am your bearded host, Tyler. Mm. And in honor of Kirby, who is, I believe, Nintendo's greatest glutton, I have a gluttony story.
Okay.
So back at Murray State, in my younger days, back when I did fun, crazy things, because this is going to sound so fun and crazy. This is going to be so fun and crazy.
Man, you got to live up to this. Start making shit up.
When you don't have a lot of money, but you want to eat a lot, the best place to go is the local trough, Ryan's Steakhouse. Because Ryan's Steakhouse, I think, is
the grossest restaurant on the planet.
Yeah, yeah. God, it's so bad.
That Ponderosa.
Ugh. And my parents love Ponderosa. I've been to Ponderosa so many times because there's one 7 minutes down the road from where I grew up. So that was pretty much where we always went. I'm sure Josh Nance is probably the same way. He's even closer to Ponderosa.
Ponderosa proximity.
Yes.
I think it like
everybody has their LPP, their local Ponderosa proximity.
It plays a big role later in life in your psychological development. There's actually a syndrome.
The government, yeah. When they have all your stats listed, they have your LPP.
Don't worry, I got Shoney's. I got Shoney's syndrome.
Okay. Mm. But I remember we always wanted to have eating contests. So the best place to go is you fork over your $8 and you just go eat the awful, disgusting food at Ryan's, just as much as you can just cram into your mouth.
Yeah, yeah.
So I believe about 10 of us went, sat at a long table, and we were going to have a steak and dessert eating contest. So Kevin Link of Super Bomberman fame was the one. He was the sure thing. He was the odds were in his favor. But we went and we would generally vary between like rare to well done steaks and just over and over and over. And I think I ate something like 12 steaks before I moved on to like desserts. Nicole's face.
That's a lot of goddamn steaks,
yeah.
Dude.
Yeah. Yeah, but whenever you're just not thinking and just cramming what is probably steak.
Steak?
Yeah. Soylent Green, whatever that movie is.
Yeah. What's the name of that movie?
Who knows? No one knows. But I eat that steak and I start eating Jell-O. I'm eating just a ton of Jell-O as fast as I can.
Are you eating Jell-O on the steak?
No, just I've done with steak. Like, all right, now it's time for the dessert portion.
Not together.
Like Jell-O, just lubricate the steak and the Jell-O, just so I can cram it faster into my mouth. And I'm eating just like a ton of just green Jell-O. And I hate Jell-O, but it's like you can get the most Jell-O down pretty quickly.
Uh-huh.
So I'm just,
especially if it's green.
Especially if it's green. So I'm just spooning just Goku style amounts of bowls and bowls of green Jell-O. And I can't remember what joke was said. But somebody said something funny. As I'm like, I don't know, I wish I knew what was so funny, but what was said. But as soon as I take a huge mouthful of green Jell-O, somebody says something funny, I start to laugh, and the Jell-O immediately just comes out of my nose. I just spew this green foam and bits of Jell-O just come spray out of my nose projectile onto all the plates.
He went fucking feral.
Because it just stays just
It's like your defense mechanism. Next time you're going to get like questioned by the police, like I hope your mouth just starts foaming green and shit
sprays. I could have put out a fire, like a fire extinguisher with this just ray of green foam all over the table.
So I know your server loved you.
Contest was over.
They just burned those tables.
But I guess it's better than like red. Red, yellow just would have looked like I was dying all over everything.
Emerging.
Like, Nintendo would have been okay. I would no blood code needed for this green jello coming in everywhere.
You're censored.
Yeah. That's my story.
Well, I want to, before we get into who I am, I want to properly introduce our guest host, Nicole Nance, of a lot of episodes fame. You've actually, is this the episode where you now have cleared Josh? Like, have you done more episodes than Josh?
I haven't been keeping count.
That's the goal. He has. You haven't been keeping count. Josh has.
Because, like, we're going to see him later today. Hopefully. Hopefully he's feeling better. I know he's been sick. So hopefully he's not going to be super upset that you've surpassed him in Tadpog episodes.
Maybe not.
Because the last time I asked you to do an episode, Josh immediately, he's on the couch like, how many is that? How many? And he starts counting on his hands. It's like, I don't think she'll pass you, Josh. And he looks up at you and you're like, do you have a problem with that? And he just is silent for a moment. No. Still counting on his hands. Okay, Josh. No, I want you to pass him at this point.
Well, thanks for my proper introduction.
Mm-hmm. We just did it to make Shake mad. He's already turned this episode off.
Your Ponderosa story made me think of a Ponderosa story.
Ryan's Steakhouse.
Oh, no, we're talking about Ponderosa.
Yes, your LPP.
My Ponderosa proximity was quite a bit more. We were like 30 minutes away. So
it was an event.
Yeah, it was. It was a special occasion Sunday after church.
So you were already dressed up. I was about to say, did you dress up to do it?
Already dressed up.
My parents would do that to me, where it's like, it's Sunday. We didn't really go to church even, but they're like, hey, put some nice clothes on. We're going to go to Shoney's. Hang out with the churchies.
But one Sunday, whenever we were at Ponderosa after church, we were with a group of people and there were some other kids. My age, I was a kid. I was like 7 or 8, something like that. We were eating onion rings and...
Ponderosa onion rings. Man,
I hope those came out of your nose.
We had eaten and we were eating onion rings and I had two friends on either side of me and we're like 7 years old and they're singing and they're pushing me back and forth as they are singing. And so I'm going side to side, back and forth, and they're singing and I'm eating these onion rings. And then all of a sudden the onion rings and everything else I'd already eaten comes back up. And
like Sonic getting hit.
And then you just scramble around the restaurant trying to pick them up.
Oh.
I didn't eat onion rings for... I bet I didn't eat onion rings for 10 years after that.
I wish I'd have known that story before we recorded. I just had like a fucking blooming onion.
I love them now, but yeah, about 10 years.
Well, not you would until Tyler and I start shaking you.
Did you vomit like onto the table?
Yes.
Like where everybody was eating? Like it filled in the gaps of all the plates.
I don't know how we always... I feel like last time I was on, you had a gross story that... Yeah.
Here on this show? There was a gross story on this show?
I know. I'm very prim and proper. Only the cleanest of butthole stories.
That stuff doesn't bother me, but the food stuff bothers me.
Buttholes, fine. Vomiting, no thank you.
I've got a lot of vomiting stories, obviously. You've probably heard more vomiting stories from me than anyone. I don't have I've always been cool with onion rings. I think I've said this on the show before. My parents used to, man, they loved Shoney's. They loved Shoney's. And my favorite thing about Shoney's was the American burger because it had that little flag on a toothpick that they would stick in. I'm Dave, your bespectacled host, by the way. And I have pneumonia. I'm going to go ahead and start that
You're
out.
You're welcome.
I've got pneumonia. So I picked it up at a Ponderosa or Orion's. I went to both. I really can't tell. I'm trying to think if I've ever gotten sick in a restaurant. It's usually just like I've gotten sick on a person or something like that. If I got sick in a restaurant, I'd probably like try to hide it like a cat. Like I'd probably like try to like subtly throw up in a cloth napkin and then like stick it under a potted plant or something for someone to find 4 years later. What is this? Ravioli? But Well, I don't know. You guys had some really good throw-up stories. I think I might have told all my throw-up stories, so maybe I need to do... Well, there was this one time that that my mom gave me a bag that she said, take this to the trash. She said, take this to the trash. It was like a small Walmart bag. It wasn't like a big black trash bag, you know, because you don't fuck with that shit. She said, take this to the trash immediately. She said, don't open it. So it's this little tied up Walmart bag. And I'm like, okay, I got this. And I remember going out because the dumpster was, I don't know, maybe 30 feet away. So I come out the sliding glass door, right? And I close it behind me. And then I get outside of the viewing range of the sliding glass door. And I immediately open it up and look inside. And I'm just blasted by this like putrid chicken smell. So I'm like, I feel it come up, right? I feel it like, no. And I didn't want my mom to find out that I disobeyed her. So there was this creek behind the house that's maybe 20 feet out of the way. And I just fucking hightail it there. I just run. Like, it's coming up. Like, I can feel it, you know, I can feel it like in the back of my throat. It's just, it's like doing that yo-yo thing. And like, I'm like, I gotta make it to the creek. I gotta make it to the creek. And I make it to the creek and I finally just throw up in the creek for like 5 minutes. I don't think if I made it to the dumpster, I was naughty and I littered. I think I just threw that fucking bag in the creek and called it a day. But while I was telling that story, I did remember that I have thrown up in a restaurant before. It was the first time I tried raw oysters. I was probably about 8 years old. And my mom got so mad at my dad because we were at a seafood restaurant. And it was a good seafood restaurant. I think it was like in Maryland or something like that.
Like a landlocked state.
Right, right. No, it wasn't like here in Kentucky.
Yeah.
where seafood is questionable. And so my mom goes to the bathroom. My dad's eating these raw oysters. And I didn't like seafood as a kid. So I'm eating my French fries and my chicken nuggets or whatever the fuck. And I, for some reason, I felt brave. And I was like, Dad, hit me up with one of those oysters. And he goes, are you sure? I was like, yes. Clearly, I'm a man. And I require a raw oyster. So he said, okay. He gives me the oyster. I'm like, all right, I got this. And I had watched him eat it. And this is how you're supposed to eat oysters, right? You put the whole damn thing in your mouth and pretty much just swallow the
sucker. Suck it down. Yep.
I didn't know that. So like I put it in my mouth and I just start chewing. I just start chewing and it is the nastiest fucking
just
thing.
Just cold snot.
Oh my God. It is so fucking nasty. And I'm chewing and he starts laughing. And he's like, just swallow it. You're just supposed to swallow it. And by that point I had chewed it so much. Like I was just so grossed out. But I was like, I should spit this out. Like I'm thinking, right? My brain is telling me, just fucking spit this thing out. Finish your chicken nuggets and call it a fucking day, dude. But I'm so fucking stubborn. I'm like, no, I'm gonna show him that I can eat this. So I was like, fine. I'm thinking to myself, I'll just swallow it. So I go to swallow it. And what made me think about this story is when I was telling the yo-yo story out in the creek. This motherfucker, like this oyster, like slid up and down my throat. Like I was trying to swallow it for like 30 seconds, man. My eyes were watering. My face is getting red. And then finally, I swallowed it. Finally got it down and I was so proud of myself and then I just promptly erupted in vomit. And about that time my mom comes back and starts, she's like, what happened? And my dad is laughing. because he started laughing as soon as it started. Like he said he could see it in my throat. Like there's just this lump in my throat just going up and down. That finally went down. Man, she was so mad at him because there's just fucking vomit everywhere. So there's my story. Thanks for jogging my memory for my traumatic childhood story. I'm glad we're talking about eating stuff because
it's fitting.
It is. Because Kirby's a little bit of a gourmand.
You could say that.
Have we talked about what we're talking about today?
I mentioned Kirby's superstar.
Mm-hmm.
So before we really delve into Kirby's superstar.
Mm.
Choo,
what's that? Is that the Tiny Toons train?
No, but it's not that dangerous.
Oh, okay.
I don't see any nets coming around just to instantly slay us.
That's my favorite train. Well, second favorite train, let's be honest.
third favorite train.
Third favorite train.
Are you a fan of Thomas? Fourth favorite train?
Second favorite non-sexual train.
Okay. The Back to the Future train?
Yes, that one's okay. Very sexual. Okay. You flip that one over and it's just man. The soft, fleshy underbelly of the Back to the Future train. I got a little segment that the train likes to announce called Dave Reads from Wikipedia.
Yeah.
This is kind of long, so I may shorten it.
Okay.
Kirby Superstar, guys. Known as Kirby's Fun Pack in Europe.
Okay.
Which I like. Mm. I like that. It sounds very much like an innuendo. Still. can't wait to open up Kirby's Fun Pack. and it's known as Hoshi no Kirby Super Deluxe in Japan, which that's a translation. The actual title is Hoshi no Kebai Super Derekusu.
Super!
it's a 1996 platforming video game developed by HAL Laboratory and published by Nintendo for the Super Nintendo Entertainment System video game console. It was first released in Japan, probably don't care, on March 21st, 1996. Very detailed. I marked it on my calendar so we can celebrate the anniversary.
Yay!
That's actually March 21st is my wedding anniversary. So that may, that is clearly why I have an affinity for Kirby. Well, the Japanese Kirby.
The Japanese, yeah.
Because it was released in North America.
Nikki was like, Dave, when you want to get married? Oh, I know.
Oh, trust me.
Oh, I know.
Trust me. I've got my Trapper Keeper calendar from 1996, a date circled. It came out in North America on September 20th, 1996. Kirby Superstar's box art states that the game features 8 games in one cartridge. They set that up like it's controversial, but then they don't follow it up really with anything. So, I don't know. Most of these games offered are mostly platforming-oriented, while some others are mini-games. The game was later released on the Wii Virtual Console and the Wii U Virtual Console. An enhanced remake titled Kirby Superstar Ultra was released on the Nintendo DS in 2008.
Hmm, okay.
I can get into gameplay and stuff like that, but I'm sure we'll talk about that.
So we'll do, yeah. All right, so we'll see. So the games I have down.
Uh-huh.
So it has Spring Breeze.
Yeah.
Spring, which is a remake.
A nice warm Spring Breeze.
Nice, pleasant Spring Breeze.
Yeah, it's a remake of the original Dreamland. Kirby's Dreamland.
See, and Dynablade.
Mm-hmm.
Which is that I didn't feel like when I looked into that, it didn't seem like it was.
That's original to this game, from what I understand.
So that takes it off my bitch list for compilation games.
Game?
Yep. Gourmet Race. I'm not going to comment on that at all until we really break it down, fuck that.
Okay.
The Great Cave Offensive.
Mm-hmm.
Revenge of Meta Knight.
Uh-huh.
Milky Way Wishes. The Arena.
Maybe.
Samurai Kirby. And Megaton Punch.
Mm-hmm.
All in this game.
From what I understand, they're all original but Spring Breeze. Someone may correct me, from what I understand, they're all original except Spring Breeze is a remake. Did either of you play this game when you were kids?
No.
No? I didn't either, but I played Dreamland on the Game Boy extensively.
Yeah. I was blown away by how short it was.
Yeah, yeah.
But we can all add this to our games beaten list because I know all three of us beat Spring Breeze.
Because it's so short, I used to beat that one like on a daily basis when I was a kid because it's like 4 stages. The stages are short. And once you learn the bosses, they're easy.
Mm-hmm.
And I like it because those are all the iconic Kirby bosses are in that game.
Because the companion system in this game, is it only in Superstar? Yeah. I don't remember it from any other
game. It's not in the original.
Because that mechanic, while I like it, that is fucking broken.
Talk to me about it.
Because you get your one power. Your power up from either a special statue or eating an enemy.
Right, because Kirby has his copy ability.
Yeah, and then you can instead reach into yourself and pull that enemy's soul back out into a physical manifestation, and they're your friend now.
Yes.
And they'll help you. And they're incredibly powerful. You hardly have to do any, depending on your partner, you hardly have to do anything.
Well, in the partner can either be computer controlled or controlled by the second player.
Which that is very cool.
That is really cool. I don't recommend anyone, like if you have a friend who wants to play, just unplug the controller because the computer is a god.
Mm-hmm.
really, you don't have to fight any of the bosses if you don't want to. As long as you have a companion that's controlled by the computer, you can just kind of float in the top left corner and your partner will just beat the shit out of the boss.
Because then, let's see, what were your impressions of Spring Breeze, Nicole? Because we watched you play it start to finish pretty quickly.
Yeah, I mean, I liked all of it. I liked the having the companion. The only complaint I had is, since it is, they are the enemies, that I would forget that it was my companion and try to kill it.
Yeah, because they look like they look like the enemies that you get the ability from.
Yeah, they could have like made them a different color or something.
And they totally destroy, like when you're fighting a boss, like a boss will typically give you an item to defeat it.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
that you have to inhale and then spit back out. And the partner will like inevitably always destroy that, because the partner's like all up in the boss. Like it's balls out 100% aggressive. So usually you can't do anything in a fight unless you also have an ability. So, and that's probably because it's not a two-player game. Like, they just kind of shoehorned that in there, which is a kind of a complaint of mine for this game, is like, they didn't adjust it at all, other than they just added the ability to have a second player. Mm-hmm. So it's like, they didn't up the difficulty or modify the levels at all to accommodate two players. They just straight threw one in there.
Yeah.
So that's why it is truly a Spring Breeze.
But it's a good, because clearly they're like, that's the first one in order, so it's good that you know, if you're not super familiar, you play that one, kind of get the intro. The intro on that is pretty extensive, teaching you how to play Kirby, and then that game's an easier game to set you up for, I guess, increasing difficulty and the rule change as it goes up the line.
Well, you mentioned the intro, and Nicole, I know when we were playing the other night, you said that you really liked the beginner's show.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, and it's pretty rare for a game of this time to tell you how to play the game. Because I think they just assume that you have the instruction manual.
Yeah.
But they've got like this, what? It's like almost like a talk show, kind of. Yeah.
You're like up on a stage and you have to do each thing to move on to the next part. So it's a good tutorial because you actually have to do it rather than it just telling you press this button or do this.
I thought it was actually entertaining too, because it's not boring, you know?
Right. Like,
but see, after Spring Breeze, and then I guess next was Dynablade.
Yeah.
Which, pretty much exactly all the same rules, only now the boss is a giant mechanical bird.
Yeah, that's the final boss. I think that the regular bosses in this game are really super lame.
Yeah.
Because they're not like in Spring Breeze, because Spring Breeze, you've got like these big bosses, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like they're huge. Like all of them, pretty much all of them are like taking up half the screen or more. But it seemed like all the bosses in Dynablade are just like Kirby sized. So it felt like a lot less epic to me. And I also think that on the upside, I think Dynablade is actually a better introduction to Kirby than Spring Breeze is, because of the way Spring Breeze is done, especially with the two-player mode, you can just fucking bull rush through that. Like, you don't even have to think about it, really, if you've got a good partner. But like in Dynablade, I feel like they have things set up in the level, like it's designed so that you have to use certain copy abilities to progress through it, which I think is really cool, because it kind of nudges the player to experiment with copy abilities, where I feel like you could go through Spring Breeze entirely without a copy ability.
Yeah, just straight up Kirby.
Yeah.
Puffs of air. So, yeah. I enjoyed Dynablade, and I looked up, because as you were playing, Nicole, you got something I didn't get, is suddenly there was this floating E that was going between the levels. That is an optional boss that roams the map.
I was right.
So, yeah.
Because I need
E for enemy.
E stood for enemies.
That's like the Hammer Brothers in Super Mario Brothers 3 on the overworld map.
It was like that. And then there are, I think, two bonus stages. I know you unlocked one bonus stage, and we didn't actually play it. But it looked like this pretty much as short as Spring Breeze, but had a few nice bells and whistles added onto it.
So, I liked it.
Yeah, I was pretty happy with
it. I liked it. And then Kirby almost murders those baby birds at the end, and that's interesting.
Yeah, because it zooms in and out, the giant colorful dino bird, and after you beat it, and then the bird sort of collapses onto the ground, like quivering in defeat, and you walk over, and there's, nest of birds, and look like you push it off screen. I'm like, holy fuck, is he just murdering baby birds?
Just gonna push him off that cliff.
Then he pushes it into wispy woods and makes the tree give all the birds apples, and then Dynabird is apparently, he's cool now.
And then they fly away into the sunset.
Yep, everything's fine.
All these games end with a sunset and something flying towards the ocean, it seems like.
Was this the one with the animation before the level where Kirby hooked himself with the fishing pole?
That's in Spring Breeze.
Oh, was it?
I'm glad you bring that up.
That was disturbing.
That is super disturbing. And I remember every time I played as a kid, that would give me like, that would skeeve me out because it's like, because they don't finish it. They've right. got like a little vignette before each stage. And then there's this one where he gets a fish hook caught in his mouth and they just leave it at that. He just ends with him tugging on it. Like, does he ever get out? Does he rip his cheek? What happens? I used to fish a lot when I was a kid, Tyler.
Oh, did
yeah,
you?
Yeah, I did. I used to fish. I remember one summer, one day I caught 50 bluegill. And it was probably the same one because I would always throw them back. And this fish was probably like, fuck it. Fuck it. I don't mind taking a hook in the mouth.
I can't feel anything. It's fine.
Yeah. I'm dead inside. I'm a fish.
I was made to fish a lot as a kid, and I fucking hated it.
Really?
Oh, my God, I hated it.
I loved it.
My dad and brother loved it, yes, but we'd have to... I just wanted to be at home playing games or watching TV instead of just, like, we have to slug through, like, muddy land and water and have to always pick ticks off my legs going through the grass to, like, this old grimy pond in the middle of nowhere, and it was always, like, the same three or four cow pasture ponds my dad would always want to go fish at, and oh God, I hated it.
You'd like fishing with me because yeah. I would go at noon and I'd always have my Walkman on, and I never walked through nasty shit and never picked ticks off of me. I stayed to the paths and I just caught bluegill that I threw back.
Yeah, we see my dad would exclusively non-pathed cow pasture ponds. That's it. Like you have to watch out for the huge cow patties and or go out in the woods and there's no real place to set, so you have to find sort of a rotten log. It was never good.
I was always worried I was gonna hook myself. Always. Like that was always my biggest fear. And it might have been because of Kirby.
Yeah, because you saw that stuck in your mind. My childhood fishing experience was different in the fact that it was on a boat rather than
fancy, man. I always wanted to fish on a boat.
So no ticks there either.
Leeches, though. Did you ever get leeches?
No leeches.
Have you checked yourself? You might just have a giant leech that's been on you for 12 years.
Did you like fishing?
Well, I didn't actually get to fish. I really wanted to. I would beg to, and then they'd give me the pole, and, you know, I'd want to cast it, and I couldn't. And, yeah. I hung out and watched, little kid.
Mm. See, I'd rather just swing the pole around like a sword. I'd rather go play Final Fantasy somewhere else with a... Yeah, there's a little bit of that pneumonia.
It's all that pole talk.
Sorry.
You excited.
I feel like you probably missed the majority of that.
You coughed and it was like a mist came out of your mouth.
I'm glad I'm not sitting across from you.
Yeah, that must suck.
All right, Gourmet Race.
Gourmet Race. The worst part of this game.
Oh my God, it is so bad.
It's the worst part of this game.
I don't understand it.
I think you do. I think that's the problem. You understand it just fine. It's just poorly done.
Yeah, I beat it just through sheer luck and attempts.
Set it up for me. What the fuck's going on in Gourmet Race?
Because Gourmet Race, I guess all the inhabitants of Popstar have decided to string food along, and Kirby and King Dedede are going to do a foot race and try and eat as much food as they can and complete the race. So that's what you do, and King Dedede is amazing at it, and Kirby is awful.
He is surprisingly good for a giant penguin, which I'm also sad that when Penguin Talk, when Kyle was on, King Dedede was not mentioned.
See, I didn't even think of Dedede as a penguin.
Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, you kind of forget that because he's such an asshole, and usually penguins are... I mean, penguins are notoriously
pleasant.
They're easygoing. They just want to fish.
Except for the penguin.
Yeah, except for the penguin, right.
But he's mostly human. He just looks like a penguin.
He's Danny DeVito. What are you going to do?
Do we know?
What are you going to do? You never know what to expect.
But basically, Kirby can only walk at the same pace, so you can't like dash or anything like that. And any of Kirby's abilities only slow him down because Dedede can run at varying speeds, so if you and him are tied neck and neck, he can just dash ahead of you.
Right.
You cannot catch him because you can't accelerate in any
way. Right, because your speed's constant.
Right.
Unless you float or something.
And that just fucks you up.
Yeah.
And if you stop to inhale, game over. You've already lost if you stop to take that 2-second inhale, because suddenly you'll see Dedede is off screen and his number of fruits collected is four times what yours is.
He does like to collect those fruits.
Yeah. So I feel like the only real way is if you master the path of this game and then just went through it as quickly as you can, because it averages speed and fruit collected together to get your score. So if you just are very quick and win all three courses, then you win the game.
And that's one way to do it. I never did it, but you lucked out, Tyler, right? Because I think you actually described it to me. I just played it until I won.
Because whenever I would go through, I remember, because it was, I won twice and he won once in the three races. And I just happened to be just a hair in front of him before he dashed when we finally got to the finish line. It was just complete luck, because the other time he just happened to run ahead of me whenever I lost.
I hated this game. Like, I hated this mini game so much. But I do think one really good thing came out of it, and that is that I want to put on an actual real-life gourmet race.
Okay.
I want to set up a course and leave popsicles and flan and pancakes just at, I don't know, 50-foot intervals, and you have to run to the food and eat it, and you have to finish it before you can keep racing. And I want to have 20 pounds of food. So like by the end, like you just, and it's going to be like the hottest day of the year. So you're just running herky jerky, because you'll run, stop, eat a full turkey, and then run another 50 feet, eat a big bowl of mashed potatoes, run another 50 feet, eat a bowl of green Jell-O, anyone who finishes wins. It doesn't matter who gets there first. If you cross the finish line, you win.
Just the vomit rally. It sounds great.
Yes. Nicole, can I sign you up?
No. It's not happening.
What did you think of Gourmet Race?
It's like you said, like the only way that I feel like you could beat it is if you just memorized exactly, you knew what was coming up and where to go. And I mean, I think we even looked up a guide for it, and that was the advice, was like, do it a lot, memorize it.
Memorize it. Mm-hmm. Ugh. Which is typical of a racing game, I guess. Mm-hmm. But
this sort of just feels like filler, because one more game, make them race. Yeah. What the hell?
Well, it's like at the beginning of the race, you had the different trophies, so you could choose an ability, and none of them helped you at all. So.
Right.
Nope. They only made you slower. Just the split second to use a power, the entity was already way ahead of you.
Yeah. And he just runs, there's blocks and stuff that serve as obstacles, and he just runs right through them. Mm-hmm. Like, you have to stop and inhale the block and spit it back out, inhale the next one, spit it back out. Mm-hmm. Not him. He just Kool-Aid mans it.
Yep.
And just runs right through. Fucking penguin. Goddamn penguin.
When I didn't play, the Great Cave Offensive.
Yeah, I played that one.
So I know you did. So if you want to tell us about that one.
That one is incredibly fun. It's also original to this game, as far as I know. It's long. I didn't finish it, but what you have to do is, there's this big world, right? And it's kind of like done Metroid style, because there's this big world and all these smaller stages inside of it are interconnected, but there's no overworld map or anything like that. You just get from one stage to another through the star doors. Like, there are these little doors, you know, you go through and it takes you to another area. But you eventually will find out that they're all kind of connected to one another in weird ways. And all in this world, there are 60 treasures that you have to find, and they're hidden. Some you have to like bust blocks in order to find them, and you just collect them. Some you have to go through like trap doors. It's all around exploration. Like, the whole thing is centered around exploration and using Kirby's copy ability to get to areas that you couldn't get to normally. It was really, really cool and a lot of fun. I would have liked to finish it. I collected, I think, 30 trophies. So I got halfway there, and that took me 3 hours. So I assume that the full game would probably be like 6 hours your first time through, which isn't that long. But when I'm trying to play all these other games, all the other mini games to talk about them, I figured, okay, I kind of get the idea of this. I can move on. I don't have any complaints about it. I really don't. I thought that was like really, really good use of Kirby. And I like games like that, though, where you just kind of explore. It gets kind of tough. There's a really frustrating part of the game. There are these enemies, and I know they're in some of the other mini games as well, but they're not as frequent. They're these, I don't know what they're called, but they're like these little blobs with nightcaps on, and they sleep. And if you touch them, you fall asleep. Kirby falls asleep. Mm. And when you can absorb them and copy their ability, and all it does, I think, is make you sleep.
And if an enemy touches you while you're sleeping, do they fall asleep?
They probably just kill you. I don't know for sure. But there's a part of this game that is super frustrating, because they use these sleeping enemies as like hurdles, right? And they're spaced out on like this really narrow tunnel. Like the tunnel's really short. You don't have a lot of room to jump up. Mm-hmm. And you've got some line to the top and you've got some of these sleeping enemies lined at the bottom and you have to jump over them like you would in a hurdle race, right? Mm-hmm. Which is hard enough because if you touch one of them, you fall asleep and it's super annoying because you have to wait for Kirby to wake up before you can continue. But to make it more interesting, they have wind coming down this tunnel. Oh. So it's pushing against you the entire time. And it's like, I'll jump over one and then I'll jump over the second one just barely and the wind will push me into the sleeping enemy. Mm-hmm. Kirby will fall asleep and then the wind just pushes him all the way back to the beginning. So I have to do it again.
Oh,
I tried
man.
That like no shit like 20 times and that's when I was like, I get the idea of this game. Let's move on.
Man.
So at the end when you collect the 60 treasures, I mean, is there a boss fight or you just collect the treasures?
I have no idea. I didn't encounter any bosses, so maybe there's a boss fight. I like to think that you just get a picture of Samus in a bikini. Like, I hope they keep the Metroid tradition of showing you Samus skin.
And while we were playing last night, Nicole, you said something I wasn't familiar with, that the sleeping cap that generally I think of as like, that's, you know, don't wake daddy, the cap he wears, or...
Don't wake daddy, he's wrestling mommy.
But what's it called?
Well, I don't
the
know.
Actual name?
I don't know.
That sounds like the actual name, what you called it.
A Sandman cap.
The Sandman cap. And I was like, that's not what I would have ever thought of it, but that makes sense. I feel
the
like
Sandman
that's...
Sandman wears it.
Yeah.
You see that shit like in 1950s sitcoms and shit, right? Mm-hmm. And wearing the...
Ebenezer Scrooge has one.
Yeah. Who the fuck sleeps in this shit? Like...
Who wears a hat to bed?
Right. Who wears a goddamn hat to bed? It's like, are you that worried about your hair? Or is that the deal? Like, you would think your hair would still get fucked up from the hat.
They probably, like, didn't have heat and stuff. Like, they had fireplaces, and, you know, they put, like, those little things under the bed to keep them warm. So I bet that the hat kept them warm.
You do lose a lot of heat out of your head, I hear. My mom has always told me that.
that I've heard that, too, and I actually looked that up the other day on Snopes or whatever. False.
False.
It's not true.
What I heard is that you do lose the most heat out of your head, but not necessarily because it's your head, because that's the part
having
of your body that nobody covers.
Anything.
Yeah, like nobody covers it, so.
Well.
Yeah, the experiment was fundamentally flawed in that they covered everything else but that up. Mm-hmm. And then they're like, oh, look, you lose so much out of your head.
Because it's the only part of your fucking body not covered?
Yep.
Yeah. All right. Well, I like the Sandman cap. I'm going to call it from... if I can remember, what I'm going to do before I go to bed tonight is I'm going to set up an elaborate flashcard system where Nikki just has a whole bunch of images drawn on an index card and she'll show it to me. And every time she shows me a Sandman cap and I don't say Sandman cap, she's going to kick me in the balls.
Nice.
I'm going to train myself.
I want to know what you thought that the Sandman wore if you didn't think he wore...
Well, see, Sandman to me is a boxer on Super Punch-Out. So when you say Sandman, I think of a large, muscular black man in a green tank top and yellow shorts.
Well, it was a large black man that played Sandman in the Santa Claus movie, Santa Claus 3 or whatever with Tim Allen.
See, I didn't see the third one.
I'm embarrassed to say that is Tim Allen. I have not seen
that. That is what, the Escape Clause?
Yes.
Is that what that one?
Yes. That has, the short guy.
Danny DeVito.
No.
Peter Dinklage.
No, not that short.
I can keep going. All right. All right. So we're somewhere between Danny DeVito.
Martin Short.
Martin Short. Oh, okay.
Okay. Yeah. That makes sense.
That just as much makes sense.
Short guy.
Although Peter Dinklage is an elf.
Really?
Yep.
I didn't know that.
He is the famous children's writer who kicks Buddy's ass.
I've never seen it.
I saw it once.
Elf is pretty good.
Fuck Will Ferrell. Tim Allen for life. There's your tweet. There's your tweet, Lord Mike. Well, Exalted Lord Mike.
You
Sorry.
Guys had talked about a Tim Allen movie that one of you hadn't heard of.
Jungle to Jungle.
Yes.
I
was like, yeah, I can't believe you didn't see that one.
No.
It's Criterion Collection, Jungle to Jungle.
Yeah, it's good. Do you have it on Laserdisc? whenever I think of Sandman, I, of course, think of the Spider-Man villain.
There you go. Let's see the next one, Revenge of Meta Knight. I feel like you beat this one.
We beat it together.
Yeah, I beat the first few stages.
Man, you made it sound really sexy. You beat this in front of all of us.
I was playing it, and then you just took it from me. You just beat it in front of all of us.
Oh, you just beat it.
I had a really good time playing through Revenge of Mennonite.
It's funny as fuck.
It was pretty funny.
It's funny. And it's set up with like, okay, the setup is that Kirby is a psychotic killer and he's coming after Meta Knight and all of his henchmen. Would you say that's accurate?
Yes, 100%.
Well, maybe he's just sick of fighting Meta Knight and he's going to take the fight to him rather than waiting for him to start.
But that's so, I love it. I love that because it's like Kirby's just, I wish they would do like a typical late 80s, early 90s setup where like they do like Meta Knight, like, I don't know, punches Kirby's girlfriend in a bar fight or something. And there's a long montage of Kirby, like just training while he's angry. And then finally he reaches a breaking point and he just fucking goes to their spaceship and starts taking it to them. We're introduced to Neckbeard Bird.
Captain Neckbeard Bird.
I'm sorry.
He has a captain's hat.
You're right. He is my favorite character because he is extremely cocky until he knows he's going to defeat Kirby, who's, by the way, just destroying their spaceship.
Just like, bit by bit.
I mean, he's just...
Like, he's not even taking a direct route to them.
No.
He's just walking around, just circling, destroying their shit and circling to them.
He's just toying with them. Like, it's really... It's kind of disturbing. So Neckbeard Bird, he figures he's going to get Kirby by unleashing Heavy Lobster.
Heavy Lobster.
All his buddies are like, what are you doing? Heavy Lobster's destroying the ship. And he is just like, Neckbeard Bird is just reveling in the chaos and the destruction. And then you defeat Heavy Lobster as Kirby. And for the rest of the game, Neckbeard Bird is just completely stoic and defeated. It's like you just took his soul in your hand and just crushed it.
Because there's what? Neckbeard Bird, crying Mask Man, Waddle Dee.
And then sailors,
sailor's hat.
Dressed as Donald Duck.
there's one more. There's who's always crying. Who's like the animation is broke down with anime style.
He's like a praying mantis dude.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And then there's of course Meta Knight.
Meta Knight.
Super serious.
He's super serious, but he's like friendly to his crew. So it's like you kind of have to wonder a little bit.
Well, and you described it really well to me last night in that it's kind of set up like Star Fox.
Yeah,
because while you're platforming, you see all of Meta Knight and his crew talking to one another in these dialogue boxes at the bottom of the screen. And that's what makes the game so fucking funny is the shit they say, because like they're giving you essentially commentary as you're just destroying everything. They're like, oh, no, he found the tomatoes that I hid. And then they start arguing with one another. Why'd you hide the fucking tomatoes? I don't know. Maybe I was going to be hungry later. It's pretty funny. Pretty funny. I liked it.
I like to think that they're like in their command central watching this all on a screen and they have like the intercom system on and they don't realize they've left it on. That's why we're hearing
that's
everything.
That's why we hear it. I love it.
So, Kirby's only getting pumped up because he can hear through the speakers that he's all fucking on him now.
My recommendation to you would be if you ever like fantasized about being Leatherface, you should play this because that's essentially what it's like. It's like you're just chasing these helpless people around with a chainsaw because they are completely incompetent. Because
you'd also compared it to like a horror comic.
Yeah.
The other night.
Yeah, the Weapon X storyline where essentially it's set up from the perspective of some of the scientists in the Weapon X project. And Wolverine breaks out. And Wolverine, of course, you usually root for Wolverine, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you kind of do in this comic too because they've done some pretty, as you know, shitty things to Wolverine, but it's scary, man, because he's just going through like with a murderous rampage, just tearing the laboratory apart and coming after these scientists. And it's totally set up like a horror comic, and it's, oh fuck, it's brilliant. If I can find it, I'll put it in the show notes, but I probably won't be able to.
That's okay,
forgive me.
But when you get through and you finally reach the command center and you kill all of the lackeys.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all, oh no, please, Kirby, don't. You just kill them.
They beg for their lives.
Yeah, and then Meta Knight comes down and you fight and beat Meta Knight.
Kirby makes him go ass to ass.
And then what I thought was interesting, when you beat Meta Knight, you cleave his mask off and you finally get to see
see his face, kind of.
He's Kirby, but blue.
Right.
He looks just like Kirby.
Mm-hmm.
So I assume he's deep secret brother to the last two of their race. And
you would think that they would be able to push past racial boundaries because there's really just those two. You think they'd rather work together
mm-hmm.
instead of, you know, what's better, pink or blue? You know, I mean, come on, get over it, guys. You're better than this.
But once Kirby, he doesn't kill Meta Knight, he cuts off his mask and humiliates him and then just
by jizzing on his face.
And then he just wants to get out. Like, he's killed all his crew. He's humiliated Meta Knight. Let's just leave now.
Uh-huh.
So then now it's a weird minigame of you on a motorcycle. A motorized unicycle.
Uh-huh.
Trying to get off the ship. And you have a short amount of time. I think you had 2 seconds left when you finally.
Oh, there was a timer?
Off. I didn't realize there was a timer.
Yeah, I didn't either.
There was a timer.
Because I was just trying to avoid Meta Knight. Because, like, you're jumping on these ramps and trying to maneuver through this whole spaceship that's being totally destroyed around you. Meanwhile, Meta Knight is flying and swooping at you with his sword. He put his mask back together first, yep. Of course.
It was his backup mask.
Right. In case of emergency, he breaks the glass and pulls his mask out. So once you escape, once again, they show a little end scene and it's the ocean again. It's a sunset again. And the spaceship is slowly descending until it crashes into the ocean.
So never to be seen. You ride off on your motorcycle, and it tells what all the enemies were. Mm-hmm. And that's mm-hmm. it.
And, but the name of that one was Revenge of Meta Knight, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Instead of just, I don't know, massacre.
Massacred crew and humiliation of Meta Knight.
The humiliation of Meta Knight. A 3-act play.
See, in the next one, I know you have to beat all of the others in order to unlock Milky Way wishes, which for some reason we didn't see the why, so we just thought it...
Milky Way. Yeah.
All
and
right.
Nicole finally pointed out, she's like, you guys realize that it's Milky Way, right? Because you fuckers keep saying Milky Way.
Well, it's like a star road without okay, Milky Way. It's just like, that's just the level. That's the Milky Way.
Man, I'm really hungry. I'm going to eat a couple Milky Ways. It's good.
Since we didn't get to it, we just watched it on YouTube.
Yeah, because you have to unlock it. You have to like beat all the other mini games essentially to unlock it. And since we all played it separately, for the most part, we didn't finish.
Not fucking with Gourmet Race again. So.
Oh no, fuck no. Until we do it in real life.
But Milky Way apparently is like the longest and most involved of all the games.
Oh, is it?
And it's different in that whenever Kirby eats an enemy, his mimic powers, instead of having that power immediately and then you have to discard it for another, he stores it.
Oh, that's cool.
So you can keep a large catalog of powers you flip back and forth through.
I noticed that whenever we were watching the video that they would discard what they had and kind of flip through and pick another one.
Yeah.
Well, that's cool.
So that's a whole new dimension to Kirby.
Yeah.
But yeah, you and your partner can both do that.
Sweet.
So that made it look cool. Basically, no, there's some new enemy named Mark or some new friend named Marx who tells you
he's a communist.
The sun and the moon are fighting and they won't stop fighting. Everything's fucked up on Popstar.
That's a communist metaphor.
So then Marx tells you you have to collect all the star dreams and go to Nova, the time comet, and ask it for a wish.
The giant space cat.
Yeah.
Yeah, giant
the giant
space
golden
cat.
Space cat.
So yeah, you go through, collect all that shit, and then go. We wake up the cat time comet, and he opens his eyes and asks you for a wish, and then Mark jumps in front of you real quick.
Spoilers.
Yeah, spoilers for if you're gonna beat Gourmet Race on the game. Spoilers. Jumps in front of you, asks to control Popstar, and
he totally Jafars it.
Yeah, yeah.
He totally Jafars it and takes all the power and turns into a Kefka-esque god.
Yeah, he's really ridiculous looking, but. And then you have to fight him. And then for some reason, now Kirby's mad at Cat Time Robot. And you have to blow part of his brain off. And then you defeat the boss. And then I guess the sun and the moon just stop fighting then.
I don't understand it. But to be honest, I didn't play it. So like maybe I missed something there.
I was going to say, yeah, there's probably some kind of story element where really the cat comet was really like doing something that fucked with the sun and the moon anyway. So probably some important story element that we didn't get.
I just think Kirby's just vengeful and angry and just destroys everything.
After we see what he's done and the humiliation of Meta Knight, I wouldn't put it past him.
Well, he's got his taste for blood. He can't get enough.
Let's see. And then one we didn't unlock, and I didn't even see it as an option, the arena.
Yeah, which is essentially a boss gauntlet, which sounds awesome, and I wish I could have unlocked it.
See,
because
you like that. I fucking hate boss gauntlets.
I hate it when they force you to do it.
Oh, okay.
Like when it's part of a game that's so far just been platforming and like Mega Man. So far, it's just been platforming and fighting a boss at the end of each level. And then they make you do this fucking boss gauntlet. Mm-hmm. I hate that because it's like, I want to progress. Like, and I've already fought these bosses. I just want to progress. But when it's an actual, like, it's a different mode that you voluntarily go in and like, all right, I'm going to see how far I can get. Then I love it because it's just, I don't know, a test of your skill in memorizing these bosses. I would have loved if we had unlocked it. I'm sad that we didn't.
Yeah. Well, I read that they have cool trophies you can collect for your progression through.
Yeah.
So you can get the Triforce. You can get Samus's Blaster. You can get a Mr. Saturn from Earthbound.
Whoa.
So I can appreciate that.
HAL Laboratory, they had a part in Earthbound, right?
Yes, they did. So that's why I imagine why that's in there.
Yeah, that's
But
awesome.
It was outrageously popular, you know, in Japan. So that's why Ness is in Smash Brothers. And why Lucas is also in Smash Brothers.
And you know, also, because the creator of Kirby and I think the founder of HAL Laboratory developed Smash Brothers, right?
Oh.
And while playing this game, Kirby Superstar, and playing all these different smaller games, it felt like I could see all the elements that were used in Super Smash Brothers. It's really weird because it's like there's a lot of stuff from these games that are featured prominently in Super Smash Brothers, like weapons, like the mallet, because the hammer is a huge, huge weapon in this game, and it's a huge weapon in Smash Brothers.
Mm-hmm. And Kirby's like, what, special default? Like, at the end of his combo, he'll pull out the mallet. And,
yeah, so. Exactly. And there's a whole bunch of stuff like that. I really dig it.
And then the two mini games that you guys played a lot of right before we started, Samurai Kirby, that was interesting, really short.
It's a tough little mini game. I thought it was tough.
Yeah, I did too.
Where it's a samurai showdown, not the game, but it's a duel.
The fucking game.
It's a duel. I love Samurai Showdown. Man. Special episode, Samurai Showdown.
Yeah. Is it not on the list at all?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, yeah, definitely.
I think the Super Nintendo port was notoriously not so good.
That's what I've got.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
We should do the Neo Geo. We should play that and then do a special episode. Okay. But it's a samurai duel, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's just one-on-one. You select the difficulty, and then it sets you up with opponents to fight. Mm-hmm. And it's set up so that it's just a reflex game, essentially, right? Where it's like, as soon as you see the exclamation mark,
which doesn't look like an exclamation mark.
No, it doesn't at all. You said it looks like a fan, which makes sense, but to me it looked like an upside down broom. But as soon as you see it, you're supposed to mash any button, and whoever hits it first will humiliate the opponent. They don't kill him.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't get past King DDD in the beginner difficulty.
Right, that's the same place I got to.
So cool idea, I thought, but I was bad at it, so I wasn't going to continue doing it.
Yeah. Let's see, after that, then the Megaton Punch minigame.
I really liked that one.
I loved it.
Yeah.
I loved it. Tell me about it, Nicole.
Well, you're in a punching competition. And
like you do.
A Megaton punching competition.
And it's essentially a timing game. You have to time three different things just right, and the closer you get to being perfect, the harder he punches.
Because there's the first one is a bar. Vertical bar that slides up and down, and you try to hit it when it's completely full. Reminded me of old golf games, I used to play the shit out of when I was a kid because my dad loved golf. So there'd be, at any given point in time, there'd be three golf games installed on the computer. And I'd be like, all right, I'll try this. And then there's a second one where like these targeting reticules are swirling around, and you have to hit it. You have to hit the button right when they overlap. Mm-hmm. And then there's, like you said, there's
it's a pendulum.
Yeah. That you have to hit right when it gets in the center of the circle. And the better you do, the bigger crack you will make in Planet Popstar, Kirby's home planet.
Yep.
So once again, evidence that Kirby is a psychopath asshole. I like to think it's an elaborate scheme that Meta Knight has put together where it's like, I'm going to make this fucker destroy his own home.
And he's sending all these enemies after him. So every time Kirby eats one, he just gets more and more thoughts implanted in him. And he's going, the more Kirby is trying to stop them, the more and more insane that he goes.
I like that. That's Kirby RPG that we should make. I like that. Where there's like this sanity meter and he has to eat enemies in order. He has to cannibalize these enemies in order to progress. But each time he does it, he loses a little bit of his humanity.
Mm-hmm. Damn right. But that's it. That's all the games.
It's all the games.
On Kirby Superstar. which going into it, I was pissed off because I thought it was a compilation. But after playing it...
It is.
I mean, well, it's not a compilation of like all... like if it was just a compilation of just the Game Boy and NES Kirby's, just ported over, then I would think, okay, no place on the list. Shouldn't be on it. But tons of original content, one remake. I thought overall, fantastic.
I really liked it.
Yeah.
I really did. I was surprised. I thought, like you, Tyler, I thought it was just going to be... I thought I was going to have to play all the Kirby games that I've played already. Mm-hmm. But that wasn't the case, because there's a lot... With the exception of one game, it's all original material.
Yeah. As our resident Kirby person, mm-hmm. Nicole Nance, what did you think?
I really enjoyed it. And I think that it has a good variety with... You know, ones that you can get through that are really short, and then the one that you didn't even get through because it was so long, and then you can play with two players, and then you have the mini games, and I just feel like it really has a lot to offer, and everything has, each one has different elements to it, so I feel like it's done really well.
Mm-hmm.
And it could have been an early party game, too, mm-hmm. because a lot of, like, the Samurai Kirby and the Megaton Punch can be done two-player. Mm-hmm. We just did it versus a computer.
Yeah, that would have been, that would have been really, really good. So... At 47, and I'm not sure there are more Kirby. I'm not sure more Kirby games.
Plenty more Kirby games. No more Kirby games.
Need more Kirby. And I'm not sure there are more any higher on this list.
I think this is the last Kirby game on the list.
And for 47, and for everything this game gives you, too low. Too low.
You think it should be placed in the upper echelon?
Yeah.
I kind of agree. I was surprised at how good this game was.
I think this is in the 20s material, especially for an iconic character like Kirby, and for everything this game has to offer, should have been in the 20s.
I was gonna say, do you know off the top of your head what's in the 20s and 30s to give it some context?
Donkey Kong Country.
A lot of the
2,
Donkey Kong, yeah.
Yeah, Donkey Kong Country 1 I think is like 20 maybe or higher.
Well, they've got Donkey Kong Country 2 as a better game, which we've talked about this already briefly. Man, I can't wait till we talk about that, because holy shit, what a fucking mess up that is.
And there are some shooters in the game in the 20s, and I'm not crazy about shooters in general. But,
and they start getting into some of the good RPGs in the 20s and the teens.
Yeah. So I think this just has a more deserving place higher up.
I can agree with that.
Yeah. I've got achievements.
You got achievements?
Mm-hmm.
What do you got?
I have 4.
All right.
Perfectly pink, persistently prime, personal perfection.
Alliteration.
And that is, you beat all the games.
Okay, yeah.
Glutton for punishment, you win one race in
your
Bay race. Blood of the many, copy every monster ability in one of the games.
Nice.
And then vegan, which is beat a game only as Kirby, no power-ups.
Hmm. Nicole, do you have any?
I have 2. Smorgasbord, which would be to eat at least 10 of each of the different food items.
Okay.
So is it smorgasbord?
Smorgasbord.
Not smorgasbord, smorgasbord.
Smorgasbord sounds better.
A little smear, a little smear of flan.
Smear smorgasbord. The street is safe in a smorgasbord.
And then the second one being twin powers, which, because you can, you know, essentially make your companion out of one of the powers and then have the same power as their companion. So if you beat, you know, all the bosses in one of the games with that, so you each have the same.
Okay, I dig that.
Form of
sword.
I've got one prepared.
Okay.
And that one is very similar to
an 18 off the top of my head.
And then right. I'm just gonna go on a long, like, struggling run of achievements. Let's see. Pepperoni and cheese, which is no, I've got Identity Crisis. And to unlock Identity Crisis, what you have to do is, in Spring Breeze, you have to defeat every boss as Kirby in a change mode. So you have to beat each boss with a different copy ability.
Okay.
I like that.
And then another one, like, I really want to work in separation anxiety. And I think one of the things that's super annoying about Kirby games, it's not really, I wouldn't say it's a design flaw. I think it's actually intentional that they do this. If Kirby has absorbed an enemy and has his power, like if he gets really batted around, that power will just fly out of Kirby, mm-hmm. in the form of a star. So I think in order to unlock separation anxiety, while fighting a boss, you have to recover a star. You have to recover a power that's been knocked out of you. Because if you can get to that star and inhale it and eat it again, you can get that power right back.
So that soul is trying to flee you and get to the afterlife, and Kirby's like no.
Drags it back down to pink hell.
I will manipulate your essence.
Do you mind if I do a couple lightning questions?
Yeah.
This will be really quick and painless. Tyler, do you have a favorite copy ability?
Sword? Well, mallet probably, actually. Mallet.
Do you just prefer
the weapons? Yeah.
Mallet's super powerful, too.
Yeah.
Because, like, if you dash with it and use it, Kirby does that crazy spin. He just spins around with it. Like, what do you call it? Drunken home run derby?
Yeah, there you go. Drunken home run derby. Whirlwind attack.
Nicole, do you have a favorite copy ability?
I like the sword as well for what it does. I like the... I don't know what it's called, with the headdress, where he's like a bird.
The bird wing.
Wing, yeah. And he's like, essentially looks like he's wearing an Indian headdress, and I like that just because of the way it looks.
He can fly with
a Native American headdress.
Yeah. indigenous peoples.
Indigenous.
No, that's what the...
don't play Sunset Riders, okay? Regardless of what Zach says, your sensibilities, I think, would be questioned. I think you're both completely wrong. I respect your opinions, but Yo-Yo is clearly the best because
Yo-Yo's pretty good.
He has it's Kirby with a backwards hat, and he kills things with a yo-yo.
And he breakdances.
Exactly. Like, you put those three things together, and you have a 90s god on your hand. It's like, that's the basis of a pantheon.
If he only had spray paint to, like, tag the side of Mennonite shit.
And a skateboard. Let's just take Bart Simpson and Yo-Yo Kirby and just mash them together.
That's also... There are no Simpsons games on this list.
For a good fucking reason.
So I feel like at some point we should do like, what are...
I want to do the arcade game real bad.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like that's the only good Simpsons game.
I agree.
That old people love the Simpsons crazy taxi game.
Oh, and also, what is it? The mobile game? The donut?
Yeah, I know nothing about that. I just see pictures on Reddit all the time.
I'm staying the fuck away from it because I hear all these horror stories of people who are like, yeah, I normally don't pay for microtransactions, but then I started playing that Simpsons donut game and I spent $50. Okay, last question and then we can end the show. Everyone looks like they're ready to get the fuck out of Tadpog Annex. Do you have a favorite game? Since this is a compilation of games, which one was your favorite?
Revenge of Meta Knight.
Revenge of Meta Knight. Nicole?
Dynablade.
I had to think about that one because I really like Dynablade too.
I really like the exploration one, but I'm going to have to also go with Revenge of Meta Knight because I haven't played a game on this list so far that made me laugh as much as that. And it helped being with you guys when I played it because I think if I had played it alone, it would have been chuckle-worthy. But because we were all playing it together and like mainly because I was yelling profanities and like, and like we were like rearranging their dialogue to be like have like sexual connotations and stuff like that, it made it really, really funny. That's all I got.
That's all I got.
Tyler.
Yes, Dave.
I had a lot of fun playing this game with you and Nicole, and had a lot of fun recording today. I feel like we had a lot of game talk, which is going to go over really well with some people. So here, I have a request for you. I'm about to ask you what kind of beard you would give this game. Mm-hmm. I want you to introduce as many vulgarities as possible to appease our listeners who just really like the gutter talk. Mm-hmm. So Jacob of Wolf Fighting fame, our adversary, if you are listening, skip ahead. I don't know.
You just turn it off.
Go ahead and turn it off.
Thanks for listening, Jacob.
We already got your download count. You can go. It's fine. But Tyler, if you were to give this game a beard, a nasty, nasty, dirty, filthy beard, what kind of beard would you give this game?
Well, are you pretty fucking familiar with that just amazing, non-shit-covered, ass-tastic, not drenched in cum, but shining with... large-breasted beauty Smash Brothers?
Fuck yes. Fuck yes, I am. I'm more familiar with the cum-drenched version, so I got the Japanese import.
Yeah. How fucking familiar are you, Nicole, with fucking Smash Brothers?
Vaguely fucking familiar.
Okay.
How about Smash Brothers Bukkake mode?
Very hard to unlock. Well, Kirby can just fucking inhale and fucking eat anyone's ass in Smash Brothers.
Yeah.
And when you just fucking devour their ass, you take all of their shitty powers. And then you can use those, and he takes on a different fucking appearance for every ass that he eats.
Every fucking ass.
Every fucking ass. And if you fucking just eat the shit out of Solid Snake.
Yeah.
Kirby gets a fucking beard. So I give this motherfucking Kirby game one eating the shit out of Solid Snake. Solid Snake Kirby beard.
You put enough Solid Snake in your mouth, you're going to get a beard. or at least a mustache. You're going to get something. Tyler, I feel like that was very good. I'm smiling. I'm excited.
Nicole is smiling.
Yeah, we're all happy here.
Everybody loves profanity.
If you were to give this game a pair of fucking glasses, what fucking kind of glasses would you give this game?
Well, on the exact same fucking tangent I was just talking about, playing fucking uncum-drenched covered Smash Brothers. That fucking gem of a non-shitty game. So non-shitty.
All right. The subreddit Cumming on Glasses. I'll put that in the I don't know if that's a subreddit. I just assume it is.
I'm pretty sure it is. I'm 99% sure it is.
If it is, I'm subscribing. So I urge all Tadpog listeners to go ahead and subscribe.
There's another fucking character whose ass you can eat. I don't know if you're familiar with the shitty, shitty old Nintendo fucking peripheral, Rob.
Yes. Yes, Rob.
Well, fucking Rob. Fucking Rob.
Up and be Rob.
You was a Nintendo peripheral that could like turn side to side and pick up stuff, had like one fucking game, and now it's, that shit is super expensive now in a collector's edition. But they fucking put Rob in this game, and when Kirby eats Rob's ass, he gets a pair of glasses. Because he gets the visor that Rob has.
You're right.
So I give this fucking game just the shit eaten out of Rob's ass, Kirby. Rob's Kirby glasses.
All right. What's robot shit look like? You ever wonder about that? Like someone would have to specifically program a robot to stop
shavings.
And take shit.
Metal shavings.
Maybe it's a pencil sharpening robot.
That's all I got.
That's all I got. Nicole, you got anything?
Nope.
Thanks for being on the show.
Thank you.
Yeah, we like it when you're on, especially when the number of episodes you're on are higher than Josh's. That's the way we prefer to keep it.
But we're out of Kirby games now, so we have to find something else that you have an affinity for and get you on for all of those episodes.
Okay. I'll skip your Farmville-esque next week.
Yeah, Harvest Moon.
People are excited about Harvest Moon.
I know. I've never played it, and I'm super thinking I'm not going to like it. And everyone's going to... probably hate me for it.
I like sim games, and we were reading this description of this game. I guess probably Josh was reading off Wikipedia, and I was like, I like sim games, but that doesn't sound fun.
if you want to try it, no. Come on.
I think IGN's description starts with waking up early. I'm already I'm out. I'm out. Not for me.
Thanks for listening, everybody. You can find the show on iTunes or Stitcher so you don't miss the next episode. I am 100% sure we are talking about IGN's 46th ranked game. This is next Wednesday, not the next episode, but next Wednesday, Harvest Moon.
We're positive. We're
100% positive.
Okay. What if IGN revises their list right before we do it? We're still going to do Harvest Moon?
Yeah. Okay. Well, we're going committed. Unrevised list. We're playing unrevised list.
Harvest Moon, will you be my game wife? That's what we're saying right now.
Yeah.
Okay.
While you're there, don't forget to subscribe, give the show a 5-star rating, write a review. We appreciate it. We love it.
Mm-hmm, we really do. Don't worry, guys. Like Tyler said, we will be back next week. In the meantime, if you can't get enough Tadpog goodness, you can always find us on tadpog.com. That's where the show notes live. I'm going to put a link to the Cumming on Glasses subreddit. If it doesn't exist, let's start it. Let's get some dedicated people who love Cumming on Glasses we'll just congregate, and we don't have to post videos or photographs. We can just talk about it. We can just talk about it and maybe write a couple stories and I don't know.
Exchange some erotic fan fiction.
Yeah, exchange some numbers. I don't know. Plan a meetup. I mean, whatever. Whatever you guys want to do. You can also find us on facebook.com/tadpog. There are a lot of cool people doing a lot of cool shit there. People tell us all the mistakes that we've made. Thank you. And also they give us some pretty cool art. And they also do that on Twitter. I'm very, very pleased to say that we have probably our most furious retweeter here in Tadpog NX with us today, and that is Marques Nicole. Because man, you are on it, and I love it. And you started it, and now we get a whole bunch of retweets from everybody else. So thank you humbly. That is awesome. You can find us at Tadpog_podcast. It is cumbersome, I know, but it's totally worth it. You can also call us if you want.
Yeah,
you can call us. Call in, tell us how much you like all these subreddits. Goo Girls and Spider Girls. And
no, it's not Goo Girls.
Slime Girls.
Oh, I'm sorry. Slime Girls. See, that's why we need.
I think of Goo as having a firmer consistency than slime. So I guess that's where I'm going with that.
Gat Girls. Is that like a 90s slime girl? She's got her ghetto blaster and she's riding a skateboard or a surfboard. Call us. Tell us whatever you want. If you are an attractive lady who often gets hit on and people always ask for your phone number, give them this number. That way they don't harass you. They call in and they leave a very confused voicemail that we play and laugh at for our own amusement. Mm-hmm. Because they deserve it, right? Mm. You're better than them.
Well, it doesn't have to be attractive lady. If you're an attractive man, you can also give out the phone number.
Might be better. Yeah. Might be better. If you are just the master at dancing video games and girls just throw their phone numbers at you constantly, say, wait a minute, you call me. What I want you to do is call 270-883-2555, and we will set up a situation where I will get you some glasses and we will figure out the rest.
Yeah.
That's it, man. I think that's all I've got.
Yep, that's it.
Our intro song, Nicole. This is like... You can just do the whole thing. I won't even ask you.
The intro song is Moves by Sycamore Drive, and a link to that track can be found in the show notes on tadpog.com.
See?
Yeah.
She's just waiting for one of us to die. Me, because that's my part. Now I'm worried.
Tanpog.
Clearly the best colored pog.
Everybody loves tan pog. Tan M&Ms. You miss those?
Yeah, those don't exist anymore, right? Nope. Blue replaced that, right? Okay. Why? What's Eminem got against tan?
I guess like the just 90s, just it was too radical of a time for tan.
Yeah, you're probably
tan
right.
Tan can come back now.
Yeah. It's because the economy was doing well in the 90s.
You think so?
Yes, whenever the economy is not doing well, people tend to favor browns and neutral colors more.
Really?
There is my degree.
So, like, just as a personal preference?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
So. See, I want brown, tan, black, and white M&Ms.
Okay.
Yeah.
You can...
I know you can request that, can't you?
I was going to say you can go to the candy shop in the mall. I don't know if they have brown and tan, but they have black and white. So.
I want to be very particular and order, like, Pantone-colored M&Ms. I imagine you can get them, right?
I'm going to nod like I know what that is. What's Pantone?
It's a color matching system.
Okay.
Come on, you know, we've been over this.
Have we?
Yeah, I told you before we started the show that I wouldn't do it unless you understood the Pantone color matching system.
Dave, I lied.
Fucking
Dave, I lied. Dave, I want to take color theory, I just didn't.
That's it, man. Until next week, I'm going to get a triple in. Mm-hmm. Can we do it? Do you think we can? It's tough to just get a duo. All right, guys. Until next week,
Tropical Capricorn.
You could really one-up me with a hardcore BJ story.